Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki. The Sun God marks the path of liberation, which is called Achiradi Vat Vartma. He is the chief source for understanding of the Vedas. He is the abode where the absolute truth can be worshipped. He is the gateway to liberation, and he is the source of eternal life as well as the cause of death. The Sun God is the eye of the Lord. May that Supreme Lord, who is supremely opulent, be pleased with us. Purport. The Sun God is considered to be the chief of the demigods. He is also considered to be the demigod who watches the northern side of the universe. He gives help for understanding the Vedas, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 552. Yachakshu esa savita sakalat granam raja samasta surya mrutir ashesati jaha yasyagnaya brahmati sambrita kalachakro govindam adipusham tamaham bhajami. The sun, full of infinite effulgence, is the king of all the planets and the image of the good soul. The sun is like the eye of the Supreme Lord. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey, mounting the wheel of time. The sun is actually the eye of the Lord. In the Vedic mantras, it is said that unless the Supreme Personality of Godhead sees, no one can see. Unless there is sunlight, no living entity on this planet can see. Therefore, the sun is considered the eye of the Supreme Lord. That is confirmed here by the word Yach Chakshur Asit, and in the Brahma Samhita by the words Yach Chakshur Esha Savita. The word Savita means the Sun God. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jananjana Salakeya Chakshon Militam Yena Tasmei Sri Gurave Namaha. So here we have the prayers of Lord Brahma on behalf of the demigods. Looking through these prayers, they're very enthusing to the heart. They seem to confirm everything said in the Bhagavad Gita about Krishna. So all the time, these prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam, they're constantly reminding us of who is Krishna, who is the Supreme Lord. So we have many cantos before we get to canto 10, and throughout these cantos you'll see these sort of prayers repeated, and just maybe from a little bit of my own experience in reading these prayers, at first I found them repetitive and not too interesting, because I didn't have still don't have maybe the depth of knowledge, but somehow as we practice our devotional service, there are certain things that reveal themselves about these prayers. You know, certain things said in them that we experience in our devotional service. And certainly this fire is an interesting aspect, because you have the fire that they mention in the sacrifice for accepting oblations in ritualistic ceremonies. And he says this is the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we can see this fire is eating all inauspiciousness, all sinful reactions, but at the same time it's absorbing our devotion, our sacrifice that is coming through this sacrifice. Because we can be brahmanas or these sort of people, they're chanting these mantras, but if there's not this connection through the heart, which is essential for the Lord to accept a sacrifice, he says, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti prayatati tadaham bhaktiham partam ashnami prayatmanaha. So there must be this love and devotion. This is a key. Otherwise, it's just a sounding of a cracked bell. It sounds like a bell, but the tone is not acceptable. It's jarring to the ear. And so when we speak, or like what Prabhupada speaks, somehow there must be hopefully some experience that will give us some or be able to pass on a bit of sound vibration that where we feel convinced in ourselves. This sound vibration, Prabhupada was the pure devotee. He was an expression of this pure faith, pure belief. So he had this ingredient that could transform people's lives. He had this sound vibration. So everything he did was actually sacrifice. You know, and so whatever he did, it reminds me that he would perform marriage ceremonies. And he was much criticized for this by maybe his godbrothers and other Vaishnavas who weren't necessarily his godbrothers, because of a sannyasi doesn't usually participate in such things. But it's understood that his personal sacrifice was of doing it for the sake of others. In other words, for the sake of others' advancement, he would do this, and he knew the risks involved. Same wise his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. He would entertain so many people, so many aristocracy, British governors, all these things, and he would sacrifice certain things in the way he did things and the way he spoke. He would sit in a limousine with them and dress in sort of coats that weren't that of a sannyasi even. But his consideration wasn't himself, actually. His consideration was that these people somehow get Krishna. So this fire, and what he actually experienced, the fire of Krishna consciousness, is passed on. He made sure that this message would be accepted to these people and to the Supreme Lord as a sacrifice. So that this fire would go into the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then it says, fire exists within the depths of the ocean, produce wealth. We understand that from the rotation of this planet, there are certain things happening within the depths of this planet, whether it be the ocean or the rock formations. And it says, and huge pressures are built within this planet by the nature of this planet moving in its rotation. And this is all controlled by the Supreme Lord. And so immense heat is produced. And we see even volcanoes coming forth from the middle of an ocean. We see the power of this fire that cannot be subdued even in water. It's a representation of the Lord. His power is amazing. And sometimes in ourselves, we feel this fire of repentance. You know, we do something, we wish we hadn't done, we got angry, we spoke in such a way, or we acted in such a way that would cause grief to others. This is a fire too. And this, Prabhupada explains, it's in the first text of the last chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when King Parikshit was regretting the action that he'd done. He put a snake round the Brahmin's neck for not taking any notice of him. He was deep in a trance. And so he put a dead snake round his neck. But we should know this is also pastime, because he was under the influence of Kali at that time. And so this enactment of a sinful activity on the Brahmin was actually, Krishna was behind it. That somehow King Parikshit would be cursed by a Brahmin's son, and he would meet his death by this pastime of Krishna, where Srimad Bhagavatam should be expressed to the great sages and all mankind, that he would hear this in 6 days, and on the seventh day he'd finish. So very interesting. But this fire of repentance in him was the sign of a devotee. Prabhupada explains that this fire of repentance is Krishna, and it actually destroys the sinful reaction. We should feel regret when we do it. And he says, this is actually Krishna. But those who do not feel this regret, it means usually they're proud, or their action is deliberate to cause harm to others. It's not a fall down as such, but it's deliberate. It's a envious position, a mischievous position. They don't feel regret. Krishna cannot enter that place where their malice and anger is. So we have to understand that if you feel some repentance, it's a good sign. But if you don't, beware. It means that we're on the road of offense, that we're causing offense to Krishna, and he's not pleased. And the consequence of that is that we won't feel regret for our actions, that somehow we'll think we're right, we're okay. So then it says there's fire in the abdomen to digest food. Well, this is another thing that you experience as you go later in life, the aging of the body, that the fire is not so prominent, and you can't digest, you cannot eat as much, because you don't feel hungry. If you don't feel hungry, how can you eat? You know, so fire is... Hunger is fire, is the fire of digestion. But also, we got to know that if we're not careful, we can exceed our fire in terms of the sense gratification. In other words, our senses are greater than our hunger. So we have to be a bit careful of this, because it can lead to sickness. In other words, you're trying to be do what Krishna does somehow. You may put lots of digestive pills in your throat or whatever they are, so that you can eat more. It's not the way. Prabhupada, he says, if you're ever in doubt of how much to eat, he was asked this question, how do we know we could be cheating? He said, you should have the intelligence to know what is enough. But he says, if you don't have the intelligence, always go for the lighter, less. Always go for less, not more. So that was his advice. But in winter, sometimes a little bit more is needed, because the fire is there. It needs it. It consumes in these cold months. So we were getting so much advice. So it produces, this fire produces the secretions that are for the maintenance of the body. May that supremely powerful personality of Godhead be pleased with us. So this fire is the Supreme Lord. So we go now to the sun god. It's a bit of a deep translation and purport. I confess, I don't really know too much about what this means. I notice in the word-for-word translation how he says that he's the predominating deity for the path of deliverance for the demigods. You know, maybe somebody could maybe give some maybe sastric thing, because I would only speculate on this. So he says the sun god marks the path of liberation. Shishi Radhagokum Nandikijai, Shishi Gornitai Kijai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. So if there is anybody who can give me some, or us all, some understanding that this sun god marks the path which is called of liberation, which is called Achiradi Vartma. The only thing I can think of was when Arjuna was passed out of the universe. They had to pass by the sun. I think, you know, that was part of the path to go to the spiritual world. But I can't think how it marks the path of liberation. So, does anybody help me here, please? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah, and the Lord is the predominating deity within the sun, isn't it, as well? Yeah. Yeah, so the answer was suggested there that actually within the Gayatri Mantra, it's expressed this supreme effulgence. I meditate on this effulgence from the sun, which is, in fact, it's the generous hand of the Lord that we can all live in a material universe without the sun. This brilliance of this sun, this fire from this sun, this warmth from this sun, that we cannot ourselves exist in this this material universe. So that's an indication that this is the Supreme Lord. He's present within the sun. He's the predominating deity. But also, I've read also about this, how he's the light of the sun and the moon. And in that purport, Prabhupada talks about that is the Brahma Jyoti. This light is also the Brahma Jyoti. It's the source. Its source is the Brahma Jyoti, you know, which is the spiritual effulgence of the Lord himself. So it says it is to be considered he is considered to be the demigod who watches the northern side of the universe. Well, I'm not too experienced in this side of it, but is somebody got any? Yeah?
There are four paths after that. When you die, there are four paths. One is two sun, one is two moon, and one is upper left, right to the finished planets.
Yeah.
And fourth is two spiritual masters.
Ah.
So, first one is there are two.
Can you come and speak this into the microphone? This is very nice. Yeah, can you speak into the microphone?
Yeah. Okay. When you leave your body, like. Okay. When you leave your body, there are four paths of God will choose give each four different things for us. One is first path is a true sun, that is a few demigods will come. There is a count of demigods as well, so they come and they take you to the sun, and there they'll give you the way to Moksha Lok or Vaikuntha. They'll teach you how to go from there. And the second way is the moon. There, Yamaraj, he decides whether you have to go to these seven upper planets or the lower planets. And the third way is just you go to the Patal Lok. Like the way you behave and the way you treat people and the way you live. That decides about all these four paths. And the fourth one is through spiritual master. And if you are in hands of the spiritual master, through his guidance, you can be liberated from here itself. Like, you know, when you are alive, like in your, you know, yeah, you'll be liberated when you are alive itself. Like, yeah, if you take the path of spiritual master. That's the fourth one. Sorry? This is all from some Veda. Veda. I'm not sure. I'll give you later, maybe. Sorry? Yeah, Garuda Purana. Yeah. Garuda Purana more explains about the second path, which is from moon way. Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Thank you. So, I think that may be a detail, considering what he's described as a principle. Do you see what I mean? Whether it be north, south, or I'm not sure. Liberation, is it? Yeah. Okay, so what's just been said, why the northern side? And well, it's been, I'll just generally terms, the northern side is the path by which is the path of liberation. You take that path. If you go east, west, south, these are not the paths of liberation, which is described. So that's spiritual master, the sun, and the demigods, yeah? And Shastra, yeah, these things. So they're the path of liberation. So then it says, he gives help for understanding the Vedas, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. And he says, the sun is full of effulgence and is the king of all the planets, and the image of the good soul. The sun is like the eye of the Supreme Lord. I adore the primeval Lord, Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs its journey, mounting on the wheel of time. So we know that Krishna said that he first revealed the Bhagavad Gita to Vivasvan. So, and it tells us that in the Bhagavad Gita. And then he passed it on to his son, and then it went to Mano, and then went to the mankind. So he is also the knower of the Vedas. He has this knowledge. So in that way, we can understand that the sun god is very special. Devotee of the Lord, the supreme of the demigods, it says here. So then, but also he's the wheel of time. He's moving the wheel of time, which is also our lives, how we see and experience time in this material existence. And the sun is actually the eye of the Lord. Well, this time aspect is eternal. It's one of the eternal aspects, though we live temporarily within it, in its sphere, much like dreams. So I'm losing this microphone, sorry about this. So with this, what does it say, with the passing, the rising and the setting of the sun, that it for those who are materially inclined or materialistic or inclined to enjoy in this world, it marks that they will die within this, and they will be kept here within this material existence. So, but for the Vaishnav, for those who are speaking the Krishna Katha, and it's the path of liberation. It transcends time. So for the though we're living within the cycle of time set by the sun, that actually it is not relevant to those who are following this path. This path of the eternal soul, that what we're doing is devotional service, which is transcendent to the nature of the body and the temporary body and the temporary universe. So we can understand that this wheel of time does not actually affect the Vaishnava, the great souls, those who are following this path. And I was also reading about this from Prabhupada. He says that even those embarking upon the path, you know, like we are doing, some of you are well on the path, it seems to me, and that this just participation till the end of our lives actually is the transcendent. We keep to this path, it will give us this transcendence as our rightful inheritance, as it says in 10:14:8, I think it is, chapter of Canto 10. It becomes our rightful inheritance. In other words, we endure that which we've been given by our previous lives' existence, this body and its sufferings, and the sufferings of this nature, that we tolerate, but we continue on this path, that the inheritance of this continuing this path of bhakti yoga, that we will actually achieve the goal of life, which is the eternal world, the eternal existence. So the sun actually, and its significance in terms of birth and death, is not given the significance it would be for those who are in the materialistic society. And one can see that also with Jivapati, certainly I can remember him, and I asked Shruti Dharma about why Jivapati, even in sickness or in his service, somehow he seemed to be the same person. You know, he was like completely detached. Though, you know, his body may be suffering and it may have caused him some irritation, which he may express at some time or something. But actually, he was really fixed up. He was immersed in this transcendence. He knew what was of real value, which was basically a service. And I can remember, and I was told that even in reception they saw this, that he would come and try and take the bags in his sick condition with his body and try and take them through to the kitchen. He would do the charanamrita tables, even in his sick condition, and then just struggle upstairs after and just about make it upstairs. But somehow what was more dear to him than anything else was his service, whatever it was, whatever he could do within his limited condition. You see, he didn't see his sick condition as a limitation. If we say, oh, I cannot do, this is our own conditioning. We actually convince ourselves we cannot do. But we can. It may cause us some inconvenience, but we can do. This is our own mental concoction. You see, when we go into this realm of the spiritual nature, there's so many things. And you know, I just think, and I see two Sankirtan devotees here, what they experience in their Sankirtan. They're extreme conditions, you know, and it's difficult, whether it be from other living entities or the weather, the demigods and the system. But still they do it. They still carry on. It's they seem to understand that actually service is beyond ourselves and our own personal comfort. Then we'll really know who we are. And what do I mean by that? We don't know who we are until we try something, until we actually, within the limitation of our physical nature, that we do extend ourselves in some way. Because who we are is spirit soul. And spirit soul, and you can see with Prabhupada, he could do so much. Because he didn't look to the body or the inconvenience of his body. He looked to the spiritual nature. And he became totally enthused. I remember that it was in February 77. He was so sick. And when he started speaking, his voice you could hardly hear. And it was full of phlegm. But then gradually, he became stronger and stronger. Until he was roaring. Somehow Krishna Katha had transcended his limitations of his physical self. And it's not a supernatural thing. It's that it is supernatural in that it's above nature. It transcends nature. But this is what we should understand from that. If we surrender to the Lord, his power comes, not ours. It's nothing to do with our limitation. It's a transcendental power. It's that which we forget ourselves. We forget our own inconvenience. And actually, the bliss of doing service will take over. And this is what's realized by the great souls. The bliss of their service, you know, is what they experience. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that we are expansions of Krishna's bliss potency, actually, the spirit soul. And their nature is bliss. And what is bliss? It's devotional service. That's what it is. If you don't do devotional service, you won't experience bliss. Because that's the natural nature of the soul, as it is with the Lord. Continuously he is giving, and he's totally blissful. He's not choosing a demon or a so-and-so or whatever. He's just giving to all living beings. And this is where he says, I am not partial. He loves his naughty and good children. He still has love and affection for all. And we should understand that it's the nature of the soul. Its real potency is its love. Its blissful potency. Its expression of love, devotional service. I better stop there. Hare Krishna, thank you. Oh, thank you for your help too. On what is the meaning of this purport and the words said here. I appreciate that. Thank you. So, anybody else? Comment, question, just quickly.